Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hey friends, I'm your host, Leenie Heiss, and this is episode 72 of the Moms in Prayer podcast. This weekend was our 35th anniversary, Awaken Hope in Carlsbad, California. We had an incredible time together. Great speakers, worship, and times of prayer. But one of our favorite parts was meeting you, our podcast friends. For those of you that are joining us for the first time, a great big hello. We'd love it if you would subscribe in your favorite podcast app and join us every week as we discuss motherhood, prayer, children, and the things affecting our children today. Leave us a review so we know how we're doing serving you. Today's guest is wife, mother, and author Maria Furlow, and today we are talking about living lives free of the insecurity trap. This one's for us and our girls. Let's welcome Maria to the show. Well, Maria Furlow, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you, Lee. I am such a huge fan of prayer and Moms in Prayer, and I am so excited to be here with you today.
It is a gift to have you on the podcast and kind of fun to start to get to know you. I want our audience to have that opportunity too. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about your family?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I have five kiddos. My oldest is my daughter, and she has started the lovely year of sixth grade. And then we have four boys under her. And my husband and I used to be, before we had our own kids, we had our youth ministry kids in full-time youth ministry up in Connecticut. And that's just really where God took us out of college straight into ministry with him. And that's where my love for ministering to girls, young women started. And then we made our way down to North Carolina, where we've been raising our family. And God has just been good through the years. Ministry and family and life looks different year to year, but we live in a constant prayer process with him and figuring that out, what that looks like. And so we've gone through the stay-at-home mom years when I've been home with the kiddos and loving on mission with them there. And now recently I went back into ministry at our local church here, Lake Forest Church. So we are a prayer, love, and ministry, love, and family, and that does not mean that it is easy and lovely and friendly always around here all the time. You know, you go through the ups and the downs, but we are constantly seeking what God has for us. So that's a little bit about us.
That's great. Maria, I wonder, we specifically are going to talk today on the podcast about having God-oriented confidence. You've written a new book, Confident Moms, Confident Daughters. And I want you to tell me about the seeds that were planted in your heart and what you feel like the need is that you see in the culture today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, the first seeds that were planted in my heart started when I was mentoring middle school girls, and it's such a gift of a relationship. You get to be a safe place for them that not all the time they have in other places with their friends or sometimes even with their family. And I just remember being so burdened with how much they really did not love the body that God gave them. How much they tried to feel better about themselves through controlling their eating and, you know, physical activity and really and images and what other girls were looking like, the comparison game. I mean, you know all the things, right? If we're women or we're moms or we're daughters, we know all of the insecurity things. And so I just so badly at that time wanted to be a model for them as to what a confident woman would look like. But that means I had to figure out what a confident woman looked like.
Right.
And how I could do that for them. And so those were the early seeds. Then I had my first child. And when I was holding that baby girl in my arms, I had this moment where my whole adolescence was just going through my mind and remembering all the struggles that I had, specifically about body image and insecurity. And I was holding her and looking at her, and I did not want that for her. And that was when I hit my knees big time. To say, Lord, I want better for this next generation of young women than I had growing up, but I don't know what to do and I don't know how that looks. And so I need you, Lord, to show me. And that really entered in the battle phase with him of, you know, going on the wrestling mat and figuring out what it looks like to transition from really insecure person into a confident woman based on God's confidence in me. That's where it all started.
So if our friends could see you right now, Maria, like I can see you, they would see a beautiful woman who they probably would think would not struggle with confidence issues.
Yeah.
But that's a part of your story. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I actually was shocked at a certain point in the book. I was like, wait a minute. Like, so you tell us. I don't want to steal your thunder, but you tell us. Yep.
Yes. And I talk about all the things in the book, right?
I
talk about all the very vulnerable, honest, personal things, but I do that in order to show a couple of things. And one is something that you're touching on. When my friends and my peers and my teachers and my parents looked at me, even still today, they saw a confident person on the outside. And what I struggled with is not knowing how to communicate the insecurity that I was really feeling. And this is why. Because we are smart women. We are smart young women. On the outset, we know that we are good and that we are not going to be perfect and that we don't have much to feel insecure about. And yet still, we struggle with these feelings. And so my goal in writing this book and having this conversation and starting this ministry is that, number one, we talk about some of the places that we don't necessarily let people into. And then we admit that there are no circumstances, there's no body size, there's no height, weight, clothes size that spares us from insecurity. It is an image of God issue in us, right? It is a fallen world. We are living in fallen bodies. It is okay to talk about that. And so, you know, you say you're confident and you look this certain way. I think that that's something that I want to help moms recognize, that we don't necessarily know all of the time what's going on in our young girls, our young daughters. And even, you know, if you're in a church or in a ministry mentoring young women, we don't all of the time know what's going on in their minds and in their hearts. And so there comes the power of prayer, right? That we are constantly asking God to open up our eyes to places that we can't necessarily see, but God sees. I believe he is faithful to answer those prayers when we ask him to.
I think that's right on. So as we look at our girls, can you give us some warning signs or things that might throw flags? So we're asking God to help search their hearts and reveal that to us. But are there warning signs for moms that their girls are struggling with identity issues?
Yeah, I think food is a big one. There comes a time, if we're on the road to struggling with insecurity, that we shift from looking at food as to being a friend and a just part of life that God has given us to being a foe. And so that's something that I would say to keep our eyes open in our girls, if there's a change there. Another one, you know, that we are dealing with today on a whole nother level is the images that we're consuming, right? On social media, on the computer, on even on television, if we're becoming obsessed with looking at people's feeds, especially if people are wearing kind of a less clothing or it's really fit people, that's kind of showing that we're beginning to struggle a little bit with comparison and feeling like we are less than. So keeping a tab, I think, on what's visually going into our daughters. And it's very easy with all of these things, Lee, because I still do it. No, not my girl. You know, that's not her. That's not why she's doing that. That might be why that girl over there is doing that, or that might be why your daughter's doing that, but not mine.
Yeah.
It's really hard to see some of these things. And so that's where, again, prayer comes in, asking God always for his wisdom in that. And then a couple of things too are our words. How is our girl talking about herself? That's a big one, right? You know, I feel fat, or I don't think I'm beautiful, or those are places where we as moms are tempted to just say, no, you're not, honey. That's not true. Because that's what we believe, right? But instead of immediately trying to change her mind about how she's feeling, drawing into that a little bit and saying, you know, I hear you saying that that you don't think you're beautiful, or, you know, you don't feel like you look more beautiful than that girl in your class. Look, what is making you think that? What about those ideas are coming to your mind? And drawing in a little bit to the conversation instead of just trying to turn it. Those are a few of the things that I think are initial indicators that there could be something deeper that's beginning to grow in her.
No, I think that's right on. I remember this time where my daughter, who was six at the time, Lexi, I was saying, get in the shower real quick, hurry up. We are in a hurry, jump in. And she said, okay, mama. And she took off all of her clothes, took out her hairband, shook it all the way out, and then stepped on the scale. And then she got into the shower. And I was like, oh my goodness.
There you go. Good
she has seen her mama do that. And I realized she's watching me do this, weigh myself each morning, that kind of thing. Yeah. And that's where you're getting right to the heart of that, which is that our girls and our boys are listening to what we're saying about ourselves. So this is contagious, right? This
Yes, it is. It is contagious. And I am blessed with my own mom. You know, we were able to process through some of these things, right? Because it's sensitive that it's contagious. Because if you're insecure, guess where you probably got that from, right? And guess where your mom probably got that from. And so there's some healing that has to happen there. And then it's taking up the banner in your own home to say, okay, I recognize that this is contagious. Leitz just said it. Maria is saying it. We know it, but then we have to actually take the harder actionable steps to then do something about it. You know, the scale is such a great example. I got rid of mine a long time ago, and we are a scale-free home. And when I talk about the scale situation with moms, like, that's a trigger there. You know, we've talked about daughters sneaking in and weighing themselves and moms not even knowing about that. So I'm so grateful, Lee, that you noticed that and you saw that immediately. Ask yourself the question, wait a second, where did she see that from? And that was me. That's really, really awesome.
Well, you know that if we are doing this, if we are believing things about ourselves that are not godly, that don't encourage a healthy perspective of self, then our kids are going to pick up our baggage and probably a little more on their own. We fortunately didn't grow up, maybe a little more you, in the era of social media where we have that comparison right at our fingertips. Is there a good balance with social media and our girls?
Yes. I think the tough part about that question, Lee, is that balance for my daughter might look different than that balance for your daughter. That balance for me might look different for that balance for you. And so I think a good first step is us as moms figuring out, where is our own healthy balance? Because when I talk to my kids about stuff, I start off by saying, listen, this is hard. This phone, this device that you have in your hand, this is power and it can be a burden. And I haven't figured it out yet. So until I figure it out, when I figure it out what works for mommy, then I will let you know what I suggest for you. But we first have to go through that balance for ourselves. And it's an individual home thing that really does start in prayer. You know, I think we flippantly take the social media thing and we separate it from God and we separate it from our relationship with Him. We separate it from our prayer lives. How many of us are praying before we pop in Instagram? And not like, you know, 15 minute prayers here, 30 second prayer. Lord, before I go into this, I just pray that you would be with me. And that if there's something that I shouldn't see or I shouldn't be in here for long, I just pray that you would show me. Yep. Right. And so before we're opening up or we're asking ourselves, Lord, am I in here for the right reasons? If I am in here for the right reasons, I pray that you'd protect my heart.
Oh, that's so good.
If I am not going in here for the right reasons, I pray, Lord, that you would just gently show me and that you would give me the self-control and the Holy Spirit control to not do it then. That's a constant struggle. But I do think that if we bring the Holy Spirit and we bring God into our social media consumption. And I have to make the difficult decision for myself because insecurity is something that I struggle with. My boundaries are going to look a little bit stricter than somebody who doesn't. And I have to stand up confident under that, knowing that if this is something that God has specifically laid on my heart that is healthy for me, I can't worry about what other people think about that.
That's so good.
So those are a few things that I think that we can put into practice in ourselves and then directly teach our daughters as they're in social media.
I think that's so good. And our words have power too. I know you've talked a lot about this, about the words that we say about ourselves and even about others' bodies are being picked up. Tell me about that.
One of the things that early on for me, as I was healing through my own insecurity and seeking some counseling is that it was important for me to recognize and try to find a way to communicate that both compliments about my physical appearance or negative things were just as damaging for me, right? And so we have to be gentle with our words that are about physical appearances, number one. And that includes what we say about ourselves in our homes that our daughters hear, right? It's not only our words that are powerful that we're speaking directly to our girls. It's whatever words that we're using, whether it's in our ministries or whether it's on social media, they carry weight. And so it's important for us, I believe, to talk about this body image thing and put it in its place under the character thing and under the righteousness thing. And how much are we talking about our physical bodies, our physical health? Is it less or more than we're talking about our spiritual health and our spiritual selves, the thoughts and the emotions about it and the character? I just would like to put out the challenge that our words focus more in those places. It doesn't mean you don't compliment people or you don't receive compliments on yourself. You're just trying to compliment the things that God is doing in us, right? More than the physical things that we can't control. Because a lot of us, you know, we're all born in different shapes and sizes.
It's okay for our daughters to feel beautiful or to love the way that they look or to take pride in the way that they dress and that kind of thing. What I appreciated so much is your balance on, we want them to enjoy the way that they look too and to feel good about themselves. How are you working on this with your daughter?
Yes. So that is a great point. I'm so thankful that you brought that part up because yes, we want to treat our bodies as the beauties that they are. You know, I love thinking about Esther in the Bible. Esther went through a year-long like beautification pampering, right? And she was a daughter of a king, you know, the king being God, and then, you know, married to a king too. And so he loved all those things about her. And so, yeah, the thing that I try to focus on with my daughter and with myself is making the body that God has given me, taking care of it in a way that makes me feel beautiful, in a way that is healthy for me. And ways that are not healthy for me is thinking about shrinking it or toning it, right? So anything that falls in changing my physical self category, that does not make me feel beautiful. What makes me feel beautiful is taking care of who I am as I am. So having fun with like clothes shopping or like a new hairstyle, you know, things that are within a healthy level of control for me. And for my daughter, it's different. She doesn't care about her hairstyle. She has a ponytail every single day. But the girl loves some Converse sneakers. And so having an array of Converse sneakers for my daughter makes her feel beautiful. And so identifying that for yourself and your daughter, what makes her feel beautiful? What is fun for her to invest in her body or her wardrobe? And then take time to do those things. You know, she loves a nice bubble bath every now and again. You know, those types of things that are healthy levels of taking care of our bodies and beauty that doesn't necessarily have to focus on changing the way that you look.
Oh, that's great. So I know you've said that we don't need to focus on changing the way our bodies look. But when we recognize that health needs to be a priority in ourselves or our daughters, what do you recommend that we start doing? Because sometimes we do need to make healthier choices in those areas.
Yep. That's a great question, Lee, a great concern. And I get it a lot with moms because I talk a lot about this, not being obsessed with physical health, but then they're like, but what about if my daughter's cholesterol isn't great? Yeah. Or what about, I personally have a doctor's appointment and that, you know, that shows some concerning things. And I think that there's a couple things here, and it's going to be different for a mom answer than a daughter answer, right? Because adulting in our bodies is different.
Right.
We're growing in our bodies. And sometimes as moms, we pull our daughters into the adult situation that we're in, right? So I'm going to answer this question in two different ways. First, let me start as a mom. As we're working through this confidence thing, it's a constant prayer process for God to work in us a desire to be healthy for the right reasons, to be healthy so that we can be strong in his work, to be healthy so that we can be not be distracted by physical ailments, right? When we're not being healthy, we're sick or we're uncomfortable or we're having stomach issues, then we're not able to pour out for his kingdom, right? To pour out for his people. Healthy so that we can steward what God has given us, right? These are to be our main focuses. And this is a constant everyday thing because I love me some gym time. It like clears my brain. It helps me feel sane. But I have conversations with him to help keep me in check that that is why I am going to my workout class first and foremost, and not to simply to strengthen and tone. Strengthen and tone is a byproduct of the what I am doing for the healthy reasons, right? It is a prayer process to have honest conversations with God about this and to welcome him into it and ask him for the confidence to make healthy choices for the right reasons, right? This is for mom, okay? Let's rewind a little bit to daughter, because I sat down with a pediatrician and I asked her the exact question that you gave, Lee, because I know that we are raising our daughters and our sons, and for the first years of their life, it is a physical taking care of, right? Feed them, we give them rest, we keep them healthy, we give them, most of our mothering starts in the physical realm. And so it's really hard as they are growing up to loosen our grip a little bit on the physical care of our child and to shift into the spiritual care and the character care of our child. There's a lot of things to this, so I will try to answer a few, but I do go into it more in depth in my interview with a pediatrician in the book. If your daughter has indicator signs of an eating disorder, if she has, there's certain personality traits that are more likely to develop an eating disorder than others, okay? Perfectionism, achievement driven, high standards of self. If your daughter has indicators of those character traits, it is healthier for you not to bring in eating changes and to have that discussion with her doctor, okay? That's number one. Number two, there are ways, instead of coming straight directly at 13-year-old daughter, you take her to the doctor's appointment. Maybe there are a couple of health issues as far as what she's eating or her physical activity, right? There's a valid concern there. Because our daughters are still developing their brains and their our emotions are churning, we have to acknowledge that it is going to be hard for her to hear just the health aspects and not translate it into, I'm not good enough. I'm not good the way that I am. I have to change my body. And this sinking feeling that she could develop, that there's something wrong with her. So there are ways to make health changes in your life, in your family, that are not a direct arrow at your daughter. If daughter is eating too many chips, whole family should stop eating chips, right? So that it's not coming directly at your daughter. It's, hey guys, public service announcement. That's what I say to my family. My kids hate it when I start my public service announcement for the Furlough family. There is no longer going to be soda in this household. Sorry, hate mommy, bye. And so it's a whole mommy, you know, blame mommy, everybody's suffering together, change, rather than directly at daughter. And I understand that that is a very difficult thing to do. I understand that everybody could be angry about that, but this is us protecting our girls from helping her process something that her growing brain and body is very hard for her to process. So There's a lot more there, Lee. I could probably talk for years and years about just that.
No, I think this is so good. I know, Maria, that you had a struggle with diet pills, right? Mm-hmm. Like That did turn toxic for you. And I'm wondering, I know that there's a mom listening who has a daughter that is struggling with eating disabilities. I wonder if there was a prayer or some scriptures that you used to guard your heart and your mind as you journeyed back to health. Is there something you would say to that mom and just something that you might help her lean into during this time?
Yeah, I think that honest and open, gut-wrenching prayer conversations with God. And really, if your daughter is struggling with eating disorders or you are concerned that she might be, there is mom grief that has to happen there. That's hard. It is a hard thing to navigate through. And God wants us to be able to process that grieving with him, that this is not what I want for my girl. This is painful. I don't know what to do, Lord. And so first and foremost, bearing your pain to him in watching your girl struggle. And then I would take the specific prayer time of, Lord, in this day, in this one 24-hour period that you have given to me, show me a way that I can help my girl. One prayer for me that helped, and it's also a prayer process that you can walk your girl through, is praying through Proverbs 31, where it talks about the Proverbs 31 woman, and it talks about all of her characteristics, and none of them have to do with her shape or her size. And so I put that up on my daughter's mirror too, Proverbs 31. I think a good healing process to go through if your daughter is somebody that's struggling with eating disorders is taking the mirror challenge that I talk about in Confident Moms, Confident Daughters, and printing out Proverbs 31 and pasting it all over your mirror. And so you can pray through each line together day by day. And then you can also just be on a mirror fast. That's just a daily reminder that, look, we are going to struggle through this together, and we are going to struggle through it with God to help you see yourself the way that God sees you and work through that together and really dive into that with her. I think that it's a scary thing that sometimes if you're like me, I get crippled and I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I'm just going to not do anything because it's too hard to figure out what. And so really doing the hard thing of engaging with her on a day by day basis and realizing that your daughter's not going to want this. I remember when I was in middle school, at that age, I decided to try to put the band-aid of control over the body image with just tossing out my lunch every day. And so my mom would come to school. She found out about this. I don't know if it was from a friend or a teacher, but she found out, and she'd come to school and she'd eat lunch with me to make sure that I was eating my lunch. And do you think seventh grade Maria liked that very much? Nope. I did not like that at all. But deep down, I appreciated it. And even today, that was something that I look back and remember that she did for me. So ignore your daughter's very hostile feelings towards you and push through.
I appreciate that, because there are seasons where our daughters may not love the choices that we're making. But we look back at the ones where our mom stepped in and say, oh my gosh, God used her instrumentally during that time. This does not have to all be bad news for us either. Have you ever seen a confident woman or a confident daughter set that you can call to mind as an example?
Oh, yes. And they're so fun. They're so fun to be around. There's freedom. There's not this like worry about like, oh no, I wonder if I'm going to say something to offend them, or, you know, am I doing the right thing? There's a joyousness of being with a mom and a daughter that are confident, and confident in God-centered confidence, right? Not self-confidence that like, oh, I'm so awesome. Not that kind of confidence. There's just a contentment there. And one of the first stories that I talk about in my book is the first time a good friend of mine, I traveled to her to California. Her family, her parents were in California. And I just remember seeing her and her mom, and I was like in awe of them. I loved watching them interact. And I get giggles because here's insecure Maria tromping in there. And we were standing at In-N-Out Burger. Have you ever had In-N-Out Burger?
I have.
So yummy. Anyways, we were standing at the In-N-Out Burger counter, and I will never forget explaining to my friend, she was in her 20s at the time, explaining for the first time to her what calorie counting was. That was not something that she ever grew up hearing from her mom. That was a foreign concept to her. I was right. Like, I love you. I want to be like you.
Yep.
And so it's fun. You know, if after we get through that difficult first layer of like, ugh, I don't like the way that I see myself. Lord, help me grow in this. There is a lightness and a freedom that comes with once you start going into that territory with him. And that's really the way that he intends it to be for us as a child of his.
I heard Emily Freeman say, comparison kills community. And when we are constantly sizing ourselves up physically, emotionally, spiritually with the girl next to us, there can't be the outreach and the bond that we want to have happen. And this confidence that you're talking about frees us up for better friendships, healthier living, and just really a relationship with the Lord that can be so much more free. And I know that's what you want for the women that are listening too.
Yes. Because you're not relying on other people to make you feel good about yourself anymore, right? You're letting God do that. And so there's not this wall that's in between you and the women of your life, because that's not something that you're seeking in them. That's not something that they need from you. That's not something that you need from them. And then you can just love and minister without all those things in the way. So yes, that's a good, I love Emily and I love that line.
Maria, I'm so excited for women to get to know you and to listen to this interview, first of all, because I think this is a huge issue that our girls and our moms, us as moms, are facing today. Maria, would you be willing to close us up in prayer for the mom who knows this is an issue for her?
Yes, absolutely. I'd love to do that. Father God, I just thank you for your closeness. I thank you, God, that you know things about us, Lord, that we don't even know about ourselves, and you love us still, and you are trustworthy with all of these places in our hearts and in our minds. And God, I just specifically want to lift up the mom to you right now, God, that might even have a tear in her eye because she wants to love herself. She wants to love herself through you, but she doesn't know how. And more than that, God, she wants her daughter to stand up in godly confidence. And so I pray, Father, where the enemy would tempt us with a spirit of overwhelming or burden or I can't do this, instead, your Holy Spirit would bring peace and hope in knowing, God, that your word says that when we ask you to draw near, you listen. And so, Lord, today, in Jesus' name, I ask you to draw near to that mama right now, Lord, that wants to grow in confidence. I pray that you draw near to her home. I pray that you give her wisdom. I pray, Lord, that you would turn her heart to you in a way that she is talking to you on almost a day-by-day basis about this, Father. And it doesn't have to look like any way. Prayer doesn't have to sound a certain way or be a certain way. It's just talking to our loving God that wants us to draw him in. And so, Father, I lift her up to you. I pray for our girls. Lord, we pray for this generation of women to rise up so strong in you, Father, that they cannot be shaken, that they will be founded on the rock of your confidence, Lord, and that you will be rising up this generation of young women, Father, that you have mighty things in store for them. Protect their hearts. Protect their confidence, protect their security in you. And I lift this all up in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Powerful stuff, right? A big thanks to Maria for pointing us back to Jesus in this mothering journey. Our website is full of scripture prayers that we can pray for our girls. So jump on our website and look up those resources. In fact, this might be a good time to check out our Girls in Prayer curriculum that is absolutely free. If you're new to Moms in Prayer, you'll also find easy directions on how to start or find a group. It's so simple, and our coordinators are waiting and praying you'll reach out. You aren't alone in this journey. And our prayer training could revolutionize your motherhood. You can find today's show notes, ways to connect further with Maria on the blog today at momsinprayer.org. And you can always make a donation to this life-changing ministry at momsinprayer.org. Moms are making the difference, friends. Moms living in the confidence of who God made them to be. Moms just like you. See you next week.